good morning, Northwoods. My name's Hope. I'm the online pastor here.
And I'm Amy. I'm the lead worship pastor. It's great to have you with us this weekend.
Absolutely. We are so glad that you're here. And the first thing that we'd love for you to do is to go ahead and join the chat today. You know, let us know where you're watching from. If you're tuning in with anybody with you, maybe your pets, your grandkids, your kids, who knows? But we would love to know where you're watching from and who you're watching with today.
Yes, and while you're here, you can also take advantage. We have got a team who's ready to pray with you. Yeah. So if you click on the Get Prayer button for anything that's going on in your life, we would love to just meet with you there online and pray with you right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually got a really cool story this week that we prayed with someone for their back pain, and a week later it went away. And so God hears those prayers. He sees those, and he is healing people. And so awesome and so exciting.
That is so amazing. You know, serving online is actually a really incredible and kind of new way to join and be part of the community here at Northwoods. And so if hearing that story, hearing of people receiving healing because of prayer that happened in a chat room, if that really like resonates with you, we would love to know that, and we would love to help get you plugged into our team. Hope is the person to communicate with about that. And so how could they do that?
Yeah, you can actually just email me if you want to. Let us know in the chat and we'll write your name down. Or the best way for you to do that is to go to the Opportunities Finder online. The link will be right here on your screen, and there you can find all of the online opportunities as well as everywhere that you can serve in the church. You know, we love to help people find their gifts and see just kind of what makes your heart beat and how God has created you to serve his kingdom and help plug you in a place in the church to serve. So the Opportunities Finder is the place to go and see all of those options.
Yes, so good. We believe that the church needs what God has placed in you. So please check that out. Well, once again, we're so glad that you're here. We're about to kick off into worship with Josh and the team. A little bit later on, we're actually going to teach you guys a new song today that I am really excited about. I think you're going to like it and have a good time while we're singing it.
Yeah, so let's get ready. Northwoods Online starts right now.
Yes, Lord, there's no one like you, Jesus. We thank you for your sacrifice, God. And we worship you this morning, God.
Was rich, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood.
Then you came along. song And it is based off of Isaiah 41:13, and it says this, "For I am the Lord your God that takes hold of your right hand. And I say to you, do not be afraid, I will help you." See, I picture Peter stepping out of that boat and almost being overwhelmed by the waves and the winds and everything that's going around him. But then I see Jesus. We get to see him stretch out his arm to save him. What a beautiful picture, what a beautiful image of us being reminded that God is with us. He is near us today. So church, whatever the battle we're facing, we're not facing it alone. God is with us, and that is his promise for you and for me today, this morning. So our encouragement for you today is to fix your eyes on God, because he will see us through. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah, come on. Well, again, we're gonna teach you the chorus. You're gonna follow along. It's pretty simple, and it goes like this.
Bigger the battle, greater my faith. There is no giant you cannot slay, 'cause you're stronger than 10,000 armies. You're stronger than 10,000.
Come on, let's sing it.
Bigger the battle, greater my faith. There is no giant you cannot slay, 'cause you're stronger than 10,000 armies. You're stronger than 10,000.
Yeah, you're catching along. Come on, let's sing it again. All together, here we go.
There is no giant you cannot slay, 'cause you're stronger than 10,000 armies. You're stronger than 10,000, 'cause you're stronger than 10,000 armies. You're stronger than 10,000.
Pretty simple, right? Help me out with your hands like this. We're gonna sing this morning at the top of our lungs. Come on, here we go.
You're stronger than 10,000 armies.
you for reminding us this morning that we're not walking alone. That whatever battle we're facing today, God, you've gone before us. God, you've gone after us. God, your love surrounds us, Jesus. We thank you for that reminder today. Holy Spirit, we be welcome in this place right here and right now. Come and have you in our hearts today. Well, church, once again, we're so excited that you're here. Whether you're in the building or you're joining us online, we're so glad that you chose to worship with us. Now we have some announcements for you, so go ahead and take a seat.
Northwoods can feel like a big place, but we want you to know that you're not just another person filling a seat or a dot on the map of someone watching online. You matter to us, and we want to get to know you personally. That's why every week we ask you to fill out the connection card in the Northwoods mobile app. It's a simple tool that lets us know who you are, and most importantly, it helps us care for you. You can ask for prayer, send in a comment, and even respond to opportunities to get more connected, like joining a small group or taking the four steps. So right now, grab your phone, open the Northwoods app, and fill out the connection card. And if you're new to Northwoods, first of all, welcome. We are so glad that you're here, and we would love to get to know you too. Grab your phone and text the word new to the number on your screen. This is going to put you directly in communication with a real life pastor on our team who can answer any questions you might have. And if you're joining us on one of our physical campuses, be sure to stop by a New Here kiosk on your way out. We have a little something that we'd like to give you. Whether it's your first time at Northwoods or your 100th time, we are glad you're here. Fill out the connection card or text us if you're new, and let's get to know each other a little bit better this weekend.
Hey, Northwoods, I hope you've been enjoying our series, A Summer on the Water. I want to invite you back to join us next week as we look at another event that happened in Jesus' life by water, specifically a well of water. You know, our culture is becoming so polarized that it can be hard to even want to step across the divide and minister and befriend those who look different, act different, and believe different. But Jesus calls us to seek after the lost and to minister to them. In fact, this is the example Jesus left for us. And so next week, we're going to look at how Jesus teaches us to step across the divide and minister to those who maybe act different, look different, and believe different. So hope to see you there.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Northwoods. My name is Janine, and we're so glad you're here today. Well, here at Northwoods, we truly believe that the local church is the hope of the world. And because of that, our grander vision is to see 20 churches started in Illinois and the surrounding regions, and then 3,000 churches planted around the world by 2020. Now, we are starting to see that vision come to fruition as we continue to be the largest planting organization in the Surge Network. We've planted in 57 countries. We have funded 99 churches in India, 90 in China, 68 in Brazil, and 60 in Liberia, just to name a few of the churches we've planted so far and funded. Well, this morning, we want to introduce you to Renato on our missions ministry team. He has some updates for you from our Surge planting pastors that we have funded.
Northwoods, we just want to celebrate that through Surge, Northwoods has planted over 675 churches around the world. So in light of that, we want to introduce you to Samuel e Hannah in Vila da Penha, Rio de Janeiro.
Hello, Northwoods Church. This is Philip and Renee, and this is Samuel and Hannah, the brand new pastors in the strategic church plant here in Vila da Penha, Rio de Janeiro.
Vocês são uma igreja acolhedora, muito receptiva, e foi realmente uma experiência muito legal.
Realmente a gente recebeu assim algo de Deus nessa noite, e eu estou muito feliz de estar aqui.
Thank you so much, Northwoods Church. for investing into what we're doing here. I know this is going to change this whole area rapidly. Thank you, guys. Love you guys.
Thank you, Northwoods. Your generosity has planted 17 new churches in the Philippines. Looking forward to planting more churches with you. God bless.
It's so exciting to see the faces of the church planters God is using to change the world through Surge. Northwoods is now planting 100 Surge church plants each year. But here's what we want you to do. Become a prayer partner for one of these Surge church planters. Pick up a prayer partner packet today at any one of our missions booths to help see the vision of 3,000 churches planted by 2030. As always, thank you for your faithful giving. It's what makes this church planting happen.
Well, just as important as giving is covering these pastors in prayer. And we would love to have you come alongside us and do that for these incredible pastors. You can do that today by picking up a prayer partner packet at our missions booth right out here in the lobby. Now, along with that, we would appreciate your prayers as we send out our first missions team on an international missions trip next week. We're really excited to be able to get back out there again. They're going to be meeting Samuel and Hannah, who are strategic church planters new to us in the southern Brazil area. Well, none of this can be made possible without your incredible and generous giving. And we have several simple ways that you can do that. If you've come today and you're prepared to give cash or a check, you can drop it at any of our drop boxes located at the back of the auditorium or anywhere around the church. You can also use the mobile app, or you can go online to northwoods.church/give, or you can text the word give to 309-243-1550. And of course, you can always drop it in the mail. Well, any of the information that I've mentioned to you today can be found on our Northwoods mobile app or our website anytime. So let's now get ready as Pastor John shares today's message.
Is there any logic or evidence that would suggest that miracles can only happen in Bible times? See, we want the miraculous, but our doubt can zap possibilities that God has laid out. See, the way you experience life is shaped by what you expect. A limitless life requires an openness to the atypical. Are you stepping up in your unknown? What Jesus has called you to do, are you stepping up? When the storms come, should we look horizontal for the answers and exaggerations of the miraculous this world might give? Or should we look up to the one who has overcome the worst of the worst and can provide the true answers, signs, and wonders we are desperately needing? Should we look to the created or the creator?
Good morning, Northwoods. Great to see all of you. Everybody doing well this morning? That's good. Definitely a good word. We got to hear from Pastor Keith last week. If you weren't able to be here or listen online, I'd encourage you to go check it out. You can find that message on our website or on our app. And I think on the way in this morning also, I think I saw that there are a few maybe from Teen Challenge here this morning. The Teen Challenge here, what's this? There they are right back there. Hey, Teen Challenge, good to have you with us. Today, Team Challenge, we partner with their ministry here at in Peoria, and they're going to be with us near the end of August. So we'll be looking forward to getting to see them near the end of August. And I wanted to highlight one other thing before we get going today. Near the end of August, I'm going to be spending a little bit of time, a few weeks, planning out the preaching calendar for March 22 and beyond. And as I'm doing that this year, I would love to hear from you, what is the sermon you'd love to hear What is, maybe there's something spiritual that you'd like, I would love more teaching on this. And so we have created a place in our Northwoods app where you can submit feedback. You can go to the app there to show you how to do that. And I would just love to hear from you. Now, just because you type something in doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to teach on it. But if I see that there's a lot of responses around one theme, that might be a good indicator for us, hey, we need to do some more teaching on this. So if you get a chance, either today or sometime in the next few days, I'd love to hear your feedback through the Northwoods app. You know, as we continue in our series, A Summer on the Water, I actually just got back from, we were down in Phoenix with my family, went on vacation, and we were down in Phoenix, and the only thing I could think of was water. 115 degrees, holy cow. Why do people go on vacation there in July? I don't know. We had a good time though. And it's always amazing to me, we're gonna hear a story from the Bible about a pool today, that the lengths at which people will go to create their own pools when it gets hot. You know, we do inflatable pools, horse trough pools. Anybody ever seen one of those? Truck bed pools. I even saw a few weeks ago, the mayor of the city of Philadelphia had to release a public service announcement telling people to stop making dumpster pools. Dumpster pools. That's right. People were renting dumpsters and then filling them with water and swimming in them. Brings a whole new meaning to dumpster diving, doesn't it? But we love pools, right? And today, as we continue in our series, A Summer on the Water, we're going to look at an event in the life of Jesus that took place by a pool. So if you have your Bible or the YouVersion app on your phone and you'd like to follow along today, we're going to be in John chapter 5. That's John chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 1. So it says in John chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. And Bethesda means house of mercy. In fact, in the Bible, anytime you see that word Beth, it really means house of. So Bethel, house of God. Bethlehem, house of bread. Bethpage, house of figs. Bethsaida, house of fish. Bethesda, house of mercy. So here we are at the pool of Bethesda, the house of mercy. And the scripture goes on and says, here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. So a great number of disabled people would come to this pool. They would lie kind of under the cover of those colonnades, and these people would come to this pool to be healed. And if you're reading the NIV translation of the Bible, you'll see a footnote in place of verse 4, which really tells us why they came to this pool. They came because they were waiting for the moving of the waters. From time to time, it says that an angel of the Lord would come down, and it would stir the waters. And the first person into the pool after each disturbance would be healed. And they'd be cured of whatever disease they had. So here a great number of people would lie, waiting for the waters to be stirred, hoping to be the first person in and to be healed. It goes on, it says in John 5 and 6, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time. For you Bear fans, this is a point of reference. That's almost as long as it's been since the Bears won the last Super Bowl. All right, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition, learned meaning he knew in his spirit that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? I want you to think about this. Jesus comes into this place where there's people sick, lame, blind, paralyzed, laying everywhere. Jesus comes in there, goes up to one man, and says, do you want to get well? Kind of an interesting question. It says he was an invalid. Now, some people read that and assume that he was paralyzed.
But in reality, John never tells us for sure. The Greek word there for invalid simply just means weakness. Now, from the rest of the passage, we can infer that he certainly had a weakness in his legs, but doesn't necessarily mean that he was paralyzed. And this weakness, we know, has been with him 38 years. Almost as long, like I said, as the last time the Bears won a Super Bowl. And Jesus, knowing this, comes and asks, do you want to get well? I want you to think about that question. It's such an interesting question. Do you want to get well? Why in the world does Jesus walk into a place filled with sick people and ask someone who he knows has been suffering for 38 years if they want to get well? I mean, that's literally like me going up to my three-year-old and saying, hey, would you like a popsicle? I mean, do you even need to ask the question? In other words, you don't need to ask that question, but obviously Jesus has a purpose for why he says things and why he asks questions. So why would Jesus ask that question? Well, it seems to me that Jesus is probing as to whether the man really wants to be healed. Now, we might think, well, who wouldn't want to be healed? But you see, this man has been this way for 38 years, which means he's built a life around this weakness. So understand, being cured, while great, will certainly bring implications. It will bring a complete change to his life. For example, when you're sick and weak and you can't do anything for yourself, everybody else does things for you. When you're sick and you're weak, how are you going to provide for your monetary needs? Most probably other people are providing for his monetary needs. He's maybe a beggar. If you're healed, that might mean a loss of income. Being cured could mean it's time to get a job. Being cured could mean that not everybody else is going to take care of all your needs the rest of your life. See, when you deal with a weakness for a long period of time, the danger is that you can become comfortable in the weakness. Sometimes when we've dealt with the weakness, whatever the weakness may be, whether it's an emotional weakness, mental weakness, a physical weakness, a spiritual weakness, and it's gone on for a long period of time, we can become comfortable in our weakness. We can become content to just compensate for it. For example, let's say it's a weakness in the area of alcohol. We say things like, well, you know, dealing with my drinking problem is really too much work, so I'll just learn how to be functional with it. Maybe there's a weakness in your marriage relationship. You say, you know, I know my marriage is dysfunctional. Our relationship could be so much more, but that would require work. That might even require admitting some wrongdoing. So I'll just keep managing the dysfunction. I'll just keep doing what I've been doing, and I'm just comfortable where I'm at. I'm comfortable in the dysfunction. You know, I've got some real emotional wounds from the past that still affect me today, and I hate it, but I'm good. I'd rather just manage than to stop long enough and to take a look inside and really deal with what's all going on inside, deal with all the pain I know is in there. So I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. Just keep managing it. I wonder if any of us today have gotten comfortable with our weaknesses. I wonder if any of us today have dealt with a problem for so long that we have become content to just manage it. But here's a question. Why manage what God wants to mend? Why manage what God wants to mend? I want to just pause right here for a moment, and I want to just give you a moment to reflect, and I want you to ask the Lord this question. I just want you, in the quietness of this moment, I'll give you a few seconds, to just ask the Lord, Lord, is there any weakness or sin in my life that I've gotten comfortable with? Lord, is there any weakness or sin in my life that I've gotten comfortable with? Why don't you just ask that question and see if he brings anything to mind? That might be a good question to continue reflecting on this week. Now, if you don't feel like you got anything, then just turn to your spouse. They'll probably let you know. Or your friends sitting next to you, they'll let you know if there's something in your life that you need to fix. But whatever comes to mind today, I want you to hear Jesus asking the same question of us today. I want you to hear him asking this question to you today. Do you want to get well? There's a weakness, there's a sin. I want you to hear him asking, do you want to get well? And before you answer yes, I want to help you understand what it will be require of you, what healing, what freedom will require of you. See, my dad has a saying he likes to say from time to time, and it goes like this: without God, we cannot. Without us, he will not. In other words, healing and freedom don't just come by willpower, it's by God's power. But make no mistake, God won't just override us to do it. He requires us to play a part. And so if we're gonna see God's power bring freedom and healing to an area of weakness in our life, then I think we need to understand that we have a part to play. What is that part? Well, to answer that, let's read on in the story. So Jesus comes to the man and he asks him, do you want to get well? And in John 5:7, look at the man's response. He says, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. I want you to notice that Jesus didn't say, why haven't you got better? Because that's really the question the man answered. Jesus said, do you want to get well? That's a yes or no question. But the man, instead of answering, of course, I would love to get well, if you think about it, he kind of gives an excuse for why he's not well. In essence, he says, it's not my fault. I'm all alone with no one to help me, and someone else always robs me of my healing because they get there first. Brother Joe, last week, he stole my healing. Knew I've been in this condition for 38 years, and he got down the pool before me. Just took my healing from me. Now, I think it's fair to say that this man has a desire to be healed. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here. But understand, he answers Jesus' question with what I think is kind of an excuse. He gives an excuse for why he hasn't been healed. And it's almost as if he's content to justify why he is the way he is. And here's what I'm trying to point out. Many people miss out on the power of God in their life because they are content to play the victim and justify why they are the way they are. And you want to know what the most common way we justify our weaknesses? It's not far from this man's reply. We say, well, it's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. It's not my fault. Someone else's fault. This is the mentality that our culture in America is starting to take. It's not, if you got a problem, it's not your fault. Someone else's fault. And it's beginning to even creep into the church. Whenever we're suffering, we want to jump to assign blame. I'm the victim here. I'm the way I am because of someone else. It's not my choices that got me in this place. It's someone else's fault. It's not my fault that I put up walls with people. If so-and-so wouldn't have broken my trust and hurt me way back when, I wouldn't have to do that. It's not my fault. It's theirs. It's not my fault that I blow up in anger at my children. If they would just do what they're supposed to do, come on, somebody, amen. If they just do what they're supposed to do, I wouldn't have to get all angry. It's not my fault. It's their fault. I've had that exact conversation with my wife before, and then I have to go apologize to my kids. Dad was wrong. And you say, it's not my fault that my life has been constantly spiraling out of control. That's my parents' fault. You know, I just kind of picked up the lifestyle that they handed down to me. It's not my fault. It's theirs. And while it might be true that someone else has hurt you, caused you pain, or has played a part in your situation, understand, you can play the victim or you can play the victor, but you can't play both. You can't play both. So, do you want to get well? Well, that means you're going to have to eliminate a victim mentality. That means taking ownership of whatever role we have played in our weakness or suffering and asking the Lord to help us correct what needs to be corrected. Taking ownership might mean, you know what? It's time to forgive the person who hurt me. It's time to forgive the person who offended me and stop acting like everything going on in my life is just their fault. It's time to forgive. Do you want to get well? Well, you're going to have to eliminate a victim mentality. The story continues. John 5:8 says, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Jesus tells him to do the very thing he doesn't think he can do. Or he hasn't been able to do. And I almost see Jesus saying, you know, I really don't want to hear the excuse. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Now notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, be healed, boom. He didn't say, in the name of myself right now, I declare that you are healed. He said, get up, pick up your mat, and start walking. Now it says in the next verse, the man was instantly healed, but inherent in Jesus' reply to the man is this. Put forth some effort. Do you want to get well? Get up, pick up your mat, and start walking. See, sometimes we claim that we want to get well, but are unwilling to put forth effort in the path to healing. For example, I have known a man whose marriage was headed for divorce. And he made the claim that he did not want to be divorced. He did not want to go down this path. And when it was suggested to him, hey, have you ever thought about going to marriage counseling with your wife? This was his response. No, I'm not doing that because I don't want someone telling me that I'm doing something wrong. All right. He got divorced. He didn't want to be well. You know, I don't want to get divorced, but you know what his actions and his words communicate? I don't want to get divorced, but I really don't want to put any effort into the relationship. I heard Pastor Robert Morris, who's pastor down at Gateway Church in Texas, once tell the story of a man in their church who was in a wheelchair. Now, he wasn't in a wheelchair because he was paralyzed. He was in a wheelchair because of a weakness. And every Sunday, this man would come down asking for prayer, that he would be healed. And eventually one Sunday, one of the prayer team members down front felt led to ask this man this question from the passage we're looking at today and said, you know what, sir, before I pray for you today, I just want to ask you, do you want to get well? And the man replied, well, now that you ask that, I really don't. Because if I were made well, that would mean I'd have to get a job. See, sometimes we say we want to get well. We say, God, I want you to shore up this weakness or bring freedom to an area, but our actions communicate otherwise. We say we want God to bring financial freedom, but we're unwilling to put him first for the tithe. Or even put pen to paper and hammer out a budget and stick to it. Do we really want to get well? We say we want God's best for our life, but we're only willing to obey God's word to the degree that it aligns with our culture. Do you really want his best? See, we need to realize that God is not sitting up there saying, well, I got to see you work before I release my power in your life. No, God is asking, do you really want to get well? And understand, if you're unwilling to put effort into an area of weakness, then understand your actions have communicated your answer to that question, i.e. you don't want to be made well. And thus, God will give you what you want. Some of us have been praying and praying for healing, freedom, restoration, and God is saying, I love the fact that you turn to me in prayer. But understand, just because you pray doesn't mean that you don't have to take any action. So I'll ask you again, do you want to get well? That means you have to put forth effort. Do you want to get well? To put forth effort. Effort might mean going to counseling. Effort might mean engaging in a ministry we offer here at Northwoods. We offer so many incredible ministries here at Northwoods. Do you want to get well? We're going to have to put forth effort. Would you look at what happens next? It says in John 5, at once the man was cured and he picked up his mat and walked. This is a miracle. Picked up his mat and walked. So a miracle occurs. This man is healed instantly. But I want you to notice that the action he took was completely different than the action he originally thought he would need to take to be healed. Remember, everyone there was waiting for an angel of the Lord to stir up the water. He had always been under the impression that when the water gets stirred, that's when healing was available. But what actually brought the healing was not the stirring of the pool for him, it was the word of Jesus. So I want you to imagine with me for a minute. Imagine, what if when Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat and walk, the man just said, well, you must not be a member of this pool. That's not how it works here. You know, the healing here happens when the water gets stirred. There's an angel that comes down, he'll stir up the waters. And if you're the first person in, that's how the healing occurs. So I'm sorry, but you know, the healing around here, that's how it's always been done, is the stirring of the water. And the healing happens by the waters, not your word. Just my opinion, but I think he would have missed out on some of what God wanted to do in his life. His healing came in part because he was willing to embrace a different way of doing things. And sometimes we never see change in our lives because we're unwilling to change our lives. One of our elders here always says, if nothing changes, nothing changes. God taught me this in a new and fresh way this last winter. I've shared this with our staff, and I'll share it with you today. Last January, my brother and I were down in Louisiana taking part in Pastors University with Pastor Larry Stocksell. He was the one who started the Surge Project, who we partner with to plant churches all around the world. But one evening, Nathan and I were at a night of worship that their church was hosting. And as we were worshiping, I sensed in my heart the Lord telling me to get down on my knees and worship him. And my first thought was, no, that's weird. I'm not doing that. There's people around. No, I'm not doing that. And just some background. Up until that point, I had never really been one who was expressive in my worship. For a long time, I've been the guy that during worship, I stand here like this and say, yes, you turn graves into gardens. You turn mourning to dancing. That was me. And there's a part of me that always wanted to be free to express my worship to the Lord, but I have always worried that people will think I'm weird if I lift my hands in worship. For a long time, I'm worried more about weird than I am worship. I just don't want to be weird. And so when I sensed the Lord telling me again on my knees in worship, my response was, no, that's weird. I'm not doing that in front of people. If you want me to get down on my knees and worship you, I'll be glad to do that when I get back to my room and I'm alone. But not here. But I've always remembered, I forget who said it, if you win an argument with the Lord, that means you lose. And so this is how I started. I said, well, maybe I'll just get down there and tie my shoe for a minute. Pull one of these. Love you, Lord. And just stay down here for a minute. Did I drop anything on the floor? I think I got my phone with me, my keys. I'm good. But eventually I was like, you know what? This is dumb. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And so I got down on my knees and I just started worshiping the Lord. I put my hands up and I just, you know, I closed my eyes. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I'm just going to worship you, Lord. And I stayed there for several minutes, and I can tell you that down on my knees, worshiping the Lord, God broke something off of me. You know, the Bible says that the spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that means there's also freedom from the fear of man. And in that Lord, the Lord, in that moment, the Lord set me free from the fear of what other people think about my worship. And I don't know how to explain it. I mean, I came home and I just said, Dad, I immediately told my dad this. I said, I have felt a newfound freedom to express my worship to the Lord. It's not even like I didn't have to think about it anymore. Just when I worship, my hands go up. And just so you know, church, lifting your hands in worship is not weird. It's biblical. Like, just go on Google today and type in lift hands worship Bible and just see what comes up. It's not weird. That's what we do when we worship the Lord. I think it's crazy. You know, I used to, if you've been to concerts, right? I remember I went to a Weezer concert in college, and I'm down front in the front row. You know, they're singing, "My name is Jonas." I'm like, "Yeah, man, yeah, my name is Jonas." Everyone's got their hands up. But when we get in the church, it's like, why can't we lift our hands for the Lord? That's not weird. But see, I truly believe I would have never experienced that freedom had I just kept doing the same old thing. And I found this to be true in almost every area of my life. Anytime I've experienced a greater level of freedom or healing in my life, it's often come on the heels of being willing to change my mindset and get a little bit uncomfortable and do something different than what I've always done. And again, some of us are missing out on all that God wants to do in our life and the greater levels of freedom that he wants us to walk in because we keep doing the same old thing, just keep saying, well, this is how I've always done it. Some of us say, well, I was taught growing up that God isn't in the healing business anymore. What if the Bible says different? What if there's several people in this church who have firsthand experienced the healing of the Lord in their life? Maybe the reason you haven't experienced God's healing touch in your life is because you've built a theology that puts limits on what God can do. Maybe changing your mindset means being willing to be vulnerable and allow someone to pray with you. So many of us, and this I find this to be true of myself sometimes, we so want to minister to others. They're like, yeah, you need prayer? Come on over here. I'll pray for you. I love to pray for you. I love to pray for you. But when it comes to saying, hey, will someone else pray for me? Oh, no, I don't want someone else praying for me. Because then that might look like maybe I got an issue or I got a problem. So, oh, no, I'll just pray for you. And you tell me your problems. What do you mean pray for? Maybe it's time to shift your mindset and allow someone else to minister to you. We have prayer teams down here after every service. We'd love to pray with you. Do you want to get well? Might mean you have to change your mindset. And I'm not telling you to change your mindset to something that's outside of the biblical boundaries. I'm just saying open your mind to all of God's word. Do you want to get well? Change your mindset. Now, as we finish, I want to jump down to verse 14. We find in between that the Jewish leaders are furious because someone whom they later discovered to be Jesus, told this man to carry his mat on the Sabbath because they deemed it's work. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Understand, the Jewish leaders had gone too far in their rules for the Sabbath. I mean, I was in Israel probably 7 years ago, and on the Sabbath, get this, some of you can know this if you've been there, the elevators don't work. Why? Because it's work to push the button. But it's not work to climb the stairs. My room's on the 14th floor. It's work to push the button, but I guess I'll climb all the way up to the 14th floor. That's not work. So understand, they've gone too far. And so they're angry, wanting to know who told this man to pick up his mat and walk. But then I want you to look at what happens later. It says in John 5:14, later Jesus found him, this is the man who had been healed, at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. So Jesus finds this man. This man realizes, okay, this is Jesus. Jesus bumps into him and says, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Now, there's people who build theologies around this entire exchange, this one exchange, to claim that all weakness and suffering in the body is always the result of sin. But if you take the rest of the Bible into account, we find that's not always the case. So we need to be careful that we don't just jump to the conclusion that all suffering and weakness is always the result of sin. You can go read John chapter 9. But in the story we're looking at, I think Jesus makes the case that sometimes sin can be at the root of suffering and weakness in the body. Seems like it was at the root of this man's weakness. You know, growing up, my brother Nathan had a fascination with snakes. He was probably, he was pretty young, maybe 7 or 8, around there. And so we had, at one point, we had 2 snakes as pets in our house. The first snake he got was a gardener snake, so he had that in a cage, and that one ended one day when the gardener snake slept on the heater in its cage and just got fried. Nathan came in one morning to feed it, and the thing was like crusted to the heater. I've just always been, I was like, yeah, that's good. You know, again, Satan compared to a snake in the Bible, like, that thing's the devil. Let's just get rid of that thing. But then Nathan got a much larger snake, a boa constrictor that was in our house. And it was fun to see this thing, you'd feed it the mice and see it constrict and all that stuff. But I remember one day, you know, Nathan had a fascination with the crocodile hunter, the late Steve Irwin, who he passed away a few years ago. And so Nathan would always imitate this guy. And so I remember one day Nathan had the snake out in the yard, and he was holding it by the tail like the crocodile hunter, okay, how he does. And he said, crikey, look at this thing. Look at this forked tongue and how it can smell the air with its tongue. And look at the constricting power. You can see Nathan doing this, right? And he's holding it, and all of a sudden this snake just goes wham and just strikes him right on the hand. And those things have teeth. I saw Nathan had two like blood marks right here on his hand. The next time I saw Nathan holding that thing, he had these huge ski gloves on. And we eventually got rid of it because Nathan was afraid to hold it. And my parents said, well, if you're not gonna handle the snake, it's going away. Nathan's like, that's fine. He moved past his fascination real quick. But here's what Nathan learned. Right, you mess around with snakes, you're gonna get bit. And in a similar fashion, the man in the story learned, right, you mess around with sin, you're gonna get bit. Sin always has consequences. We don't play around with sin, we put away sin. We don't play around with anger, we don't play around with pornography, don't play around with unforgiveness, don't play around with sin. Paul made the case in Ephesians that when we play around with and continue in sin, we can give the devil a foothold in our life, which simply just means a base of operation. Why would you want to give the devil a base of operation in your life? So I'm going to ask you the question again. Do you want to get well? Well, that means you're going to have to put away sin. Stop playing around with sin. Stop flirting with sin. If you want to get well, you can't keep walking in sin. So, knowing all that, the part you'll have to play, I want to ask you one more time today, and I want you to hear Jesus asking this question. Do you want to get well? Do you really want to get well? Because that means you have to eliminate a victim mentality. That means there might be some effort you have to put into it. That means you might have to change your mindset. And that means that it's time to put away sin and turn away from sin. Do you really want to get well? And here's why this is important. I was just thinking about this as we were as I was praying this morning is that, yes, Jesus' healing and freedom, that's incredible. And we want to experience that. And it is for us, right? But it's not just for us. It's also so others can see what God has done in our life. I want you to think about this. The very last verse in the story says, the man went away, and this is verse 15, and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. See, it's easy in the day we're living in to want to get in arguments with people. People want to argue about stuff that's in the Bible. Why doesn't it talk about dinosaurs more? How did the Lord talk, you know, how did he actually create the earth in 6 days if science says this? And you can, and you, again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with reasoning with people from the scriptures. But you know what? It's hard to argue when you're able to tell someone, you know what? I might not have every answer for you, but here's what I know. I used to be this way, but Jesus touched me, and now I'm this way. I used to be blind, but now I see. I used to be the man just lying on the floor, I couldn't go anywhere, but Jesus touched me, and now I can walk. I used to be mired in depression, but the Lord set me free, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. I used to be bound in sin, but the Lord set me free. It's hard to argue with that. We can argue about certain things in here all day long, but you know what? Sometimes you get to a place when you've experienced Jesus' healing and freedom in your life. You just want to tell people and say, you know what? Lord, set me free. Don't you want that in your life? I believe that's what our culture needs. That's what this country needs. It needs to see more people who have had an experience and a touch from the Lord who can go out and say, you know what? It's not just dead religion. This is what Jesus did for me. That's who we need to be, church. So do you want to get well? And I would say this week, maybe a good takeaway from here would be to just say, go down all those different four areas you saw in that story. Is there any place, Lord, where I am holding on to a victim mentality? Maybe you might need to ask, Lord, is there a place where I need to start putting forth effort? Lord, is there a place where I need to change my mind, or I've closed my mind? I've been with something for so long that I've closed my mind off to the fact that maybe you can do something about this. Where is there a place where I've gotten complacent and I'm just allowing sin into my life? That might be a good thing to walk through this week. And so as we close, I want to ask you to stand. Let's pray together before we leave. Lord, again, we thank you for your word and for the power of your word. And Lord, I just pray if there's places in our lives where over time we've become content to compensate, we've become comfortable in our weakness, Lord, I pray that you would burn away the complacency, Lord, that you would burn away the apathy in our lives, that you would burn away dead religion, Lord, that you would burn away a mindset that puts limits on you, and you would open our minds to all that you want to do for us and all that you have purchased for us. And so, Lord, we want to be made well. In fact, if there's an area of weakness in your life and you say, Lord, I need a touch from you, I just want you to just extend your hands right now to heaven and just as an act of Lord saying, Lord, I want to be made well. I want what only you can do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bring your healing touch to your people. I pray we would be those who walk in greater levels of freedom with you, Lord. And all for the reason, Lord, that when people see us, we're able to share what you have done in our lives, Lord, that it was Jesus Christ who changed me. And we thank you for that, Lord. I pray your blessing over your people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen, church. Good to be with you today. Hey, if you need prayer for anything, the prayer team will be down front. We'd love to pray for you. Have a great week. Northwoods Online, so great to have you with us. I hope you were blessed by today, and I'll be praying for you. I've been praying for you that, again, if there's any area in your life that you would surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be made well. And as you do, watch what he'll do in your life. Have a great week.
Well, we are so glad you joined us this weekend. What a great service and a great message from Pastor John. Yeah. You know, this topic of freedom is something that we talk about a lot here at Northwoods. And if that is something that you just feel that nudge in your heart to maybe pursue in your own life, we do have some opportunities for you, even online.
Yeah. You know, one of the great first steps in your freedom journey is the Get Free classes. And all of those are available online. And, you know, we're also going to offer them in the fall in person. So whichever way suits you, you can check that out online. That link will be on your screen. And then another great way is through our deliverance appointments. And that's a more in-depth prayer appointment. And they're just really incredible.
Yeah, I know it takes courage to make either of those steps. And so really, we're just praying boldness over each of you. But as you sense that nudge from the Spirit that you would really in boldness take a step to check those out, you will not regret it. We believe that God has an abundant life that he wants to give you as you follow Christ and devote your life to him. So be sure to check those out on our website, northwoods.church. Again, we're so glad that you were here with us today. Have a great week.